الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: وعاشروهن بالمعروف. صدق الله العظيم. Most respected brothers and elders, and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, and also our brother Junaid, who just got married now. We have just witnessed a nikah, and therefore I feel it important to just mention a few advices regarding nikah. Now and then we do speak about the importance of nikah, the rights of the husband, the rights of the wife, the responsibilities that is attached with this nikah. The institution of nikah in Islam is a very sacred one. It's a very important one. It is a very great sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We heard the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the khutbah, "An-nikahu min sunnati." So nikah is from the sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were three sahaba, جَاءَ ثَلَاثَةُ رَهْتٍ إِلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ يَسْأَلُونَ عَنِ عِبَادَةِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. A group of three sahaba, they went to the wives of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, asking about the ibadat of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. In the masjid they could see him, outside they would see the ibadat of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, his worshipping. But they were wanting to know, they were curious about when he goes home, what type of ibadat he would engage in. And probably they expected to get such answers that the moment Rasulullah enters his house, then perhaps he rolls out the musalla and engages in salah from the time he comes in right till the next salah time. فَلَمَّا أُخْبِرُوا بِهَا. But when they were informed, كَأَنَّهُمْ تَقَالُّوهَا, as though in their understanding, they expected more to be mentioned. So in their understanding, they deemed it to be a bit little, but they said that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is sinless. Allah has forgiven all his sins, past, present, future. And he does not have to exert himself to that extent in ibadah. Although Rasulullah did go all out in ibadah, he exerted himself. But they felt that we need to make much more ibadat, so that we may be forgiven and we may also reach a high position hereafter. So one of them said, "Amma ana." One said, "Well, from today onwards, I am going to read the Hajjud Salah the entire night. Amma ana fa usalli wala arqud. I am not going to sleep. Whole night I'll be engaged in tahajjud." The other said, "As for me, I'm going to fast every single day. Amma ana fa asumu an-nahar wala uftir. I will fast the entire day and I will never miss a single fast. Every day of my life I'm going to keep fast." And the third person said, "Amma ana fa a'tazilu an-nisa. I will never get married. And I'll just engage and devote my entire life just in the worship of Allah Rabbul Izzat. I won't have any added responsibilities of looking after a wife, and I'll just seclude myself and devote myself in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed about what these three sahaba said. So he goes to them. He says, "Antum kutum kada wa kada? Did you say this, this, this?" They all agreed, yes. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to them. Now this is the sunnah, the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, full of balance. There was no extremism in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, "See, I have more taqwa and fear of Allah than you have. فَأَنَا أَخْشَاكُمْ لِلَّهِ وَأَتْقَى. I have got more taqwa than you have, and I fear Allah more than you fear Allah. But I read tahajjud salah and I sleep also. I rest also. It's not the entire night I'm engaged in tahajjud salah. I keep sometimes nafil rozas and sometimes I do not keep. It's not every single day of my life I'm fasting." And he said, "وَأَنَا أَتَزَوَّجُ النِّسَاءِ. And I also marry women." Then Rasulullah said, فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّةِ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. This is my sunnah. My salat, my fasting, and getting married. This is my way of life. Whoever turns away from this way of life, which is a most perfect way of life, it is akmal, it is ashal, most easy way, it is ajmal, most beautiful. This is my way of life. فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّةِ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Then he's not of me. If you claim you want to be part of me, my ummah, you are my follower, then this is the beautiful and simple way of life that is presented to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore Rasulullah exhorted the youngsters especially, Ya ma'ashara al-shabab. He addressed the assembly of youth and he encouraged them to get married. If they had the means to get married, then they should get married because it's going to protect them from haram, from zina. Now, unfortunately, when we see today in our lives, our youngsters are of marriageable age. Our young son, he's baligh, he's of age where he can get married. And we can assist him in getting married also. So perhaps he has the means also. We have got so many young girls. What do? We procrastinate. We say, no, they're still young. They still need to grow a bit more. They still need to stand on their own feet. Yes, a man has to have sufficient means to provide for his wife when he has to make nikah. But many times we find ourselves, we say, no, he must finish his whole degree and finish his whole course and she must still study and this must happen. What happens in the interim? Unfortunately, many a young person, then because they have temptations, they have desires, so they fulfill the desires in a wrong way. And this is how zina spreads in the ummah. Now who is to blame? We as parents. We should have made the correct tarbiyat of our children. When it is time for them to get married, then marry them off. Find the right suitable partner and get them married. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exhorted the sahaba. There are so many incidents in which he instructs his sahabi to get married. There is one particular sahabi, Rabi'a bin Ka'ab al-Aslami radiyallahu ta'ala. He was one of the attendants of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the khadim of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would serve Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, I would bring the wudu water, the water for ablution to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ateetu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bi wadu'ihi wa hajatihi, whatever needs he had. I would bring it, I would be always making the khidmat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees the sahabi Rabi'a radiallahu ta'ala making so much of khidmat of him and serving him so well. So he tells Rabi'a, sell, ask whatever you want. I will make dua to Allah and you will be granted whatever you want. The intention Rasulullah perhaps had that ask for anything you want. You want some money? I will give you some money. You want some material possessions? Ask me and I'll give. Let me give it to you now. Because you are serving me so well. Nabi Sam was so happy with him. Sal, ask me what you want. Now look at the brilliant answer of this sahabi. The love he had for Rasulullah. If I was in this position, I would have asked for something of the world. Give me a car, or give me a camel, or give me a house. He says, As'aluka murafaqataka fil jannah. Ya Rasulullah, I want to be your companion in Jannah. Nabi Kareem said, Awa ghayra dhalik, anything else? Okay, anything else? Maybe you want some money now? He said, no, this is what I want. I just want to be your companion in paradise. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then teaches him, he says, okay, fa'inni ala nafsika bikathati sujood. Okay, I will make this dua to Allah, but we need some dawa also, like a doctor prescribes a medication, take this tablet, take this medication. Now it's left to us to take that medication. Just the medication on his own, just a prescription, he's not going to cure us. So he said, okay, I will make dua to Allah, but I need you, over and above your faraid, your nafil. Kathati sujood means kathati salat. You must eat a lot of nafil, nawafil. Engage in a lot of nafil, and then we will then be, if Allah will grant me this dua, I will make dua to Allah, that you must be my companion and enter, or be in Jannah with me. So this is Rabi'a bin Ka'ab al-Aslami radiallahu ta'ala, serving Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the dua he asked for, the request he made to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ya Rabi'a, ala tatazawaj? Don't you want to get married? So the answer he gives, Ya Rasulullah, no. The reason is, I don't want anything to distract me from serving you. I don't want anything to distract me from serving. I want to make your khidmat. And I don't have the means also. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went away. Sometime later, Ya Rabi'a, ala tatazawwaj? Don't you want to get married? Rabi'a said the same answer, that Ya Rasul, I don't want to miss the opportunity of making your khidmat. I'm serving you, now I'll get married, then I won't be able to be your khadim. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say anything. After the second time, Rabi'a bin Ka'ab then thought to himself, you know, I made a mistake. Suddenly now the desire came into his heart. He said, if Rasul asks me any more time now, I'll tell him, yes, I'm ready. After some time, he's waiting for Rasul to ask him now, and Nabi Kareem not asking him anything. He comes to him after some time, Ya Rabi'a, Ala tatazawwaj, don't you want to get married? He said, Ya Rasul, I'm ready. Yes. You guide me and tell me what to do. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, go to a certain family of the Ansar. Go there, convey my salam to them, and tell them, I have sent you, you are my messenger, and they must get you married to one of their daughters. Rabi'a radiallahu ta'ala goes, knocks on the door, makes salam. He says, Ana Rasulu Rasulullah. I am the messenger of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He has conveyed his salam to you and he has asked me to inform you that you must get me married to your daughter. Immediately, they say, Marhaban bi Rasuli Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Welcome to the messenger of the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a suitable girl in the family and they get him married. His nikah takes place, they honor him. He goes back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's supposed to be excited. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees him a bit worried, sad, distressed. What's wrong, Rabi'a? Why are you so hazin? He says, Ya Rasulullah, I got married, but now the mahar. What mahar? How must I give the mahar? How am I going to pay the mahar? Nabi Kareem tells him, okay, no problem. You come from the Aslam tribe. He was Ka'ab, Rabi'a bin Ka'ab al-Aslami radiallahu ta'ala, the Aslam tribe. He says, your leader, who is the chief in your clan, your tribe? Burayda al-Aslami radiallahu ta'ala. Go to him and tell him, with the help of the rest of the people in the family, they must assist you in getting some mahar. Tell them to give you a gold coin. Whatever the word, whatever it was worth at the time, and they must give this to you, and you must present this as a mahar. So they collect this mahar, and he goes, and he gives it to his wife, to the in-laws. They say, oh, so much you have given us. And they get very excited. And they're very happy. They accept it. He comes back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, he is worried, concerned. Rabi'a, what's the problem? Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I have nothing to give as walima. How will I make a walima? Nabi Kareem, some tell me, go to your family. Burayda, he is the leader. And tell him to get you one goat or a sheep. He goes, and then he brings this goat to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Kareem, some tell him, go to Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. Go to my wife Aisha, the mother of the believers. And tell her, in that miktal, in that basket which she keeps food in, she must give you whatever she's got in that basket. Whatever flower she had, he goes to her. In fact, there was nothing else in the house of Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha to eat, but that flower that they were going to use to make bread. And she gives him all that she had in that basket. And he goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, take this and go to your in-laws and tell them to prepare the walima. So he goes and he tells them, this is the food I've got. I am unable to cook the food. You people go ahead. This is the sheep or the goat. You get it sorted out and we'll bake the bread. So he agrees. He goes back to Burayda radiallahu ta'ala. His family then, they slaughter the animal and they prepare the meat. And his in-laws, they prepared the roti. And then they invite Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the nikah. So again, we see Rasulullah sallam exalted the Sahaba. He assisted the Sahaba in getting the means to perform a nikah. Our nikah should be simple as possible. We make our nikahs so difficult to perform. So we have lavish parties and we have lavish functions, and we have mentioned this so many times that unfortunately Allah forgive us. We have so much of money to drape the walls of the hall, yet there are millions of people starving. They don't even have a morsel of food to eat. Go to Palestine, go to Syria, go to Jordan, and so many other countries in the world, in African countries. People don't have sufficient food. And then we ask, where is the barakah? Nabi Kareem Salman said, that nikah which has the least amount of expenses has the most amount of barakah. Nonetheless, respected brothers and elders, what is important, that nikah is not just a union of a husband and wife, just to merely satisfy and gratify the desires. It comes with an important responsibility. It is a contract. What is it? That I have rights over my wife, she has rights over me. Both of us mutually, we have to fulfill each other's rights. Therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in fact, has mentioned, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. It is as though Allah is making a special plea to us menfolk to treat our wives very, very nicely and with love, compassion, with care. وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. استوصوا بالنساء خيرا. Accept from me an advice to be kind to your wives. Rasulullah said, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا. The person who has the most perfect and complete iman is the one who is good to his wife. خِيَارُكُمْ خِيَارُهُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ. The best of you who is best to his wife. La yafraq mu'minun mu'minatan. A mu'min, a husband should not despise his wife. He should not abhor his wife. He should not hate his wife because of one mistake of hers, one fault of hers. If he does not like, in kariha minha khulukan, if he does not like some trait of her, some habit of hers, radiya minha akhar. Look at all the other good qualities she has and be pleased with those qualities. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Hajjatul Wida, farewell pilgrimage, amongst the important guidance he gave to the ummah, specifically he mentioned about looking after our wives. Even as he is passing away, as-salah wa ma malakat imanukum. Hold on to salat, don't discard your salah. And be mindful of those people who are in your possession, your wives, your slaves. In one hadith, Rasulullah mentioned, Allahumma, inni uharrij. Wallah, I deem sinful the abuse of haqq al-da'ifain, the rights of two weak people. Al-mar'atu wal-yateem. A woman and a yateem, an orphan. They don't have the strength to fight for their rights. They don't have the strength to demand their rights. They are weak. Therefore, Rasul mentioned, "Hunna awanin indakum." They are like captives in your captivity. Doesn't mean you must bully them. Doesn't mean you must show your abuse your authority over them. No. Speak kindly to them with love. Ask ourselves, which one of us makes salam properly when we go home, when we leave home? In the riwayat of Tirmidhi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would kiss his wife before leaving home. After Fajr Salah, Rasulullah would sit on his Musalla, right at Ishraq Salah, perform his Ishraq, then go to each of his wives' homes, make salam to them, ask them how they are feeling, ask them about their well-being. Then finally he'll go to that house, to that wife in whose home it was her turn that day, and he would stay with her for the remaining of the day. So he starts his morning in this beautiful way. After Asr Salah, the general pattern of Rasulullah, after Fajr he would do it, after Ishraq, and after Asr Salah also, he would go to each of the homes of his wives, sit with them, talk with them, Show that love, that care, compassion. Even on a journey. Sometimes his wives accompanied him on a journey. And we know on a journey there's so much of responsibilities a person has, especially if you're the leader. You're the Amir, you're the Nabi of Allah. But he would find time at night. Then he would bring his camel next to the camel of his wife that had accompanied him. And then he would even meet them and talk to them. Imagine on his nikah to Zainab bint Jahash radiallahu ta'ala anha. Zainab bint Jahash radiallahu ta'ala anha. The whole nikah is a very lengthy incident. Allah performed that nikah in the heavens. Walima is taking place. It's a lengthy incident. I can't go into that whole incident. Some sahaba, they partook of the meal, but some were still sitting, they engaged in some discussion. Nabi Karim saw some goes. He leaves that home, but he goes to each of his wife's home. He makes salam to them. How are you keeping? How are you feeling? They would ask, how is Zainab? How is your new wife? Imam Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayhi is mentioned. The reason why Rasulullah went to his other wife's home on that occasion, to bring some comfort in their souls. Because they would feel it. The Nabi, the husband was not an ordinary husband. The Nabi of Allah, any woman, she feels it when my husband gets married to another wife. To console them, comfort them, he would go and meet them. This is sunnah of Rasulullah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would actually, after Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, would drink water from a glass or a tumbler, he would put his lips where her lips were on that tumbler. Miswak, he used the same miswak of Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha on his deathbed. It was unable for him to make the miswak soft. He indicates to her, and then she softens the miswak, and therefore she would boast to the other wives, and she would say that the last before my master sallallahu alaihi wasallam left this world, my saliva went into his saliva. And Nabi Kareem some tells the one day, Aisha, I know when you upset me. She said, how you make that? On that occasion, she says, whenever you upset, whenever I'm upset with you, Nabi Karim said, whenever you are upset with me, O Aisha, then on that day you're making dua, Allahumma Rabb Ibrahim, Allah, the Rabb of Ibrahim, alayhi salatu salam. That day you're not saying, Allahumma Rabb Muhammad. You don't mention my name. Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha says, my beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yes, I omitted your name, but not your love for my heart. Not your love for that. He would even bathe in the same vessel and tub with Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. This is the pyar, muhabbat he had. He showed to all his wives. Khadija radiallahu anha passes away. Even after her demise, he's living in Madina Munawwara. He's got other wives. And still he slaughters an animal, makes parcels of the meat and distributes the meat to the friends of Khadija who were living there in Madina Munawwara. And he would talk about his Khadija so often. This is loyalty. He would talk about his Khadija so much that Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha once remarked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as there was no other woman in the world, that old woman, that Khadija, she said, Wallahi, I did not even see Khadija in my life. She said, Aisha was a little baby. When Rasulullah was married to Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha. Hazrat Khadija was much older in age than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Nabi Kareem explained to her that when people rejected me, amanat bi, wa kazzabani an-nas, when people belied me, they rejected me, she embraced Islam, she embraced Iman. The first person to accept Iman was Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha. She supported me when everybody else, they broke away from me, my people, the Quraysh, they abandoned me. And Khadija, she supported me in the valley of Abi Talib, Shu'ab Abi Talib. 3 years they were ostracized. Khadija radiallahu anha was a wealthy woman, but she chose to be with the husband in the valley. Boycotted. There was no food to eat. They went through misery, pain, difficulty. After they were released from the boycott, Khadija radiallahu anha actually passes away. And then he says, she even bore my children. Safiya radiallahu anha. One occasion she is traveling with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and she falls off her camel. Brothers, you and I will be going somewhere and the wife trips. Oh, she sprains her ankle and we become angry with it. What's wrong with you? You can't see where you're walking. Everybody is watching us. You can't hold the parcel properly. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes immediately to her. Safiya is crying radiallahu anha. She's got tears. Nabiya Kareem takes his Mubarak hand. He wipes off the tears of the face of Safiya radiallahu anha. He helps her again, gently, and he puts her onto the camel. He even found time to run races with Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. Of course, not in public. People look at this and they say, now I must run with my wife in public. No. When no sahaba were there, he found time to entertain Khadija to his wives, all his wives. So respected brothers and elders, especially your youngsters who just got married, are getting married. One of the important ingredients of having a blissful, or the most important ingredient we will say, is to have taqwa in our life. We have to have Allah in our life. All three verses we heard now in the khutbah, taqwa, taqwa, taqwa. What is it? We should establish our salah. For the men, masjid. Woman, at home. It should not happen that our wives are missing or discarding the salah. We also lazy about salah. Namaz time comes, it goes. There is no salah in our home. There is no salah in our lives. This is a important fundamental of deen. If our salah is correct, then everything else will come into place. We should go the extra mile in giving them their rights. Instead of us demanding our rights. We should always try to swallow our anger. There should be mutual understanding. Many a time, it's for petty, petty reasons. Sometimes you can't understand. They actually want to have a separation, a divorce. And what was the reason? Something so small, so petty. So it should be mutual understanding. Give her her rights before you demand your rights. And of course, it's not always that we're taking the side of the woman. But generally what we find is many of the males, they abuse the authority. They become angry very quickly. They oppress their wives physically, psychologically. Many of these women, they make sabr. They bear the pain. They feel embarrassed to even tell their parents. Years go by. Years go past. They don't have the courage to complain to any person. My respected brothers and elders, that one ah of that woman, if she raises her hand, and that reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will be detrimental to us. Overlook their mistakes. Show them that love. Praise them. When last did we praise our woman folk, our wives? Praise them. Show them that love. And as I said, taqwa. Taqwa is the most important thing. We should make hifazat of our eyes. Many times we find now, man is married. Everything seems to be so good. And suddenly he's having an illicit relationship with some other woman. Illicit relationship. And finally he's caught out. Allah makes it such. The wife catches him. Then what happens? Now he tries to justify it. He becomes angry. And he makes her as though she is the one who is guilty. My respected brothers and elders, my humble appeal, advice, especially our youngsters, get them married. We got young girls at home. Obviously, a suitable proposal has to come. And then, of course, ourselves also fulfills obligation of nikah correctly. We have rights that we have to discharge. And a woman also has to discharge her rights that the husband has over her. Therefore, in one hadith of Rasulullah s.a.w. is mentioned, إِذَا صَلَّتِ الْمَرْأَةُ خَمْسَهَا. When a woman has performed her 5 times salah, وَصَامَتْ شَهْرَهَا. In the month of Ramadan, she has kept her Ramadan fast. And she has وَأَطَاعَتْ زَوْجَهَا. She has obeyed her husband. Of course, obedience to husband in all those things which are in conformance with Sharia. If the husband commands the wife to do anything haram, then she does not obey him. Then she does not obey him. And she protects her chastity. Not when the husband is gone to work, then she invites the neighbor or some other haram person. She protects her chastity and she safeguards his wealth. She is regarded to be also in one hadith, al-mar'atu saliha, the pious woman. Ad-dunya mata', Rasulullah said this entire dunya is material possessions. Wa khayru mata'iha al-mar'atu saliha. The best of the possession of this world is the pious wife. Sahabas, who is the pious wife? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when the husband looks at her, she pleases him. He's happy with her. When he commands her, idha amaraha ata'atu, she obeys him. And she makes hifazat of her chastity against any haram. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq of being true husbands. And grant our wives to be, give them the tawfiq of being true wives. When this happens, then inshallah we will find, yes, in any nikah for that matter. Any nikah. There will be those occasions when the husband becomes angry, wife becomes angry. There is sometimes some turbulence that takes place. In fact, in the life of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu once goes to visit his beloved Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his bosom friend, his Nabi, so close, Siddiq goes to him. At that time, as he just enters, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anhu had been raising her voice against that of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There was some matter, there was some dispute, and she was becoming angry. Immediately he goes to give her one tight clout. It was his daughter. You're talking to Nabi Sallam in this manner, your husband? Nabi Kareem sees Abu Bakr Siddiq rather raising his hands against his daughter, and that is his wife. So immediately he intervenes and he blocks Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Say Abu Bakr goes away. Nabi Kareem tells Sayyidina Aisha, I saved you from the man. You have got one smack, I saved you. After some time, things settle down. As Abu Bakr comes back, he makes salam. He says, give me permission to enter in your silmikum, in your peace, just as you gave me permission when you had some problem. He said, harbikum. Harb means actually war. There wasn't a war. There's a small argument they had. He said, now let me enter your home whilst I see so much of muhabbat and peace. Nabi Kareem smiles and let him in. So my respected brothers, Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat, get our youngsters married. If zina is going to take place, the hadith of Rasulullah says, there'll be sudden deaths in abundance. There'll be deaths upon deaths upon deaths. This is one of the causes or consequences of when zina becomes rife. And why will zina take place? It's because we have stopped our youngsters from getting married the proper legal Sharia way. Allah give all of us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wan. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.